left. Jo is a playwright and a performer. Her plays have been performed all over the world, and to name a few, we have Faust, Anna Karenina, Life is a Dream for the Lyceum. For the Traverse, we had Light in a Village, Losing Venice, The Tree of Knowledge, which I was happy to see myself a couple of years ago. And earlier this year, her adaptation of Great Expectations played in the West End, and I think was also beamed to cinemas all over the world, and received a great deal of acclaim. So, Jo, thank you very much.
Thank you. How lovely to be here, and how lovely to listen to your talk. Yeah, and somebody thinking coherently about happiness, I can't think about happiness at all. All I can do is tell stories. And once upon a time, there was a boy, which was me, who dreamed that one day he would grow up to be a writer. One day he would meet a very beautiful woman and he would fall in love and have a family. And one day he would travel the world. And you know, the most extraordinary thing happened because all these dreams came true. And how extraordinary is that? I don't know how they came true, but they did come true. And these caused me a huge amount of happiness because creativity is such a source of happiness. Loving a fellow human being, loving children and caring for children and being loved by our children is such an incredible source of happiness. Travelling, oh, isn't it fun travelling? I love seeing different places. It's just gorgeous. I was very blessed, and yet I wasn't altogether happy because I was obsessed with this very strange sense that I could not understand, that although I was apparently biologically male, I didn't feel like a male. I felt like a female, I felt like a woman, and I couldn't understand this, and I was very ashamed of it, and I was very frightened of it, but I could do nothing about it. I had to fulfil it. And as time passed, I found it is possible to live as a woman, which is quite extraordinary. How lucky we are in this world, in this society, in this country. This is one of the very few countries in the world where it is safe to be a transsexual. There are very many countries in the world where I would be killed if I showed my face. How lucky I am. How amazing that is. And so it is important. We're just sort of going through a few sort of, it's like a shopping list, isn't it? Forgive me, making a shopping list of happiness. But these are just a few of the conditions, the things that make people happy. And yet, if I was to tell you about the time I was most happy in my whole life, you might not believe me. Because it was quite extraordinary. And it was a time of the most profound unhappiness. Some years ago, my wife started to have terrible headaches. And the suspicion was that she had a brain tumor. And they took her into the Western General and they drilled a hole in the back of her head. It's very medieval in a strange kind of a way. And they took out a sample of whatever it was, and it was a brain tumour. And it was going to kill her very soon, the doctor said. And the doctor said to me, well, what do you want to do? Shall I tell her? And I said, no, because we'd been together for 33 years. I said, I must tell her. I've got to do this. And the dear doctor said, okay, but you know I'm there if you can't do it. And then a lovely nurse, the doctor left me for a minute, and a lovely nurse came in and she said, very British thing. She said, would you like a cup of tea? I said, yeah, I'd love a cup of tea. And off she went to make a cup of tea. And I looked out the window in the Western General. There is a tree, a very miserable looking tree, growing in the shadow of the walls, growing in the shadow of that building which contains so much suffering and so much unhappiness. And it was kind of stunted and its leaves looked very miserable. But I was looking at the tree and I was thinking about how it was doing the best it could under difficult circumstances to grow and be fulfilled as a tree. And an extraordinary thing happened because I thought it was the most beautiful tree I'd ever seen in the whole world. And then the nurse came back with her cup of tea and it was that horrible hospital tea, you know how vile hospital tea is. But I started to drink the cup of tea and I thought, this is the most beautiful cup of tea I've ever drunk in my entire life. And I was completely freaked out by this. And I had a strong sense that in spite of all the misery that I was going through, there was still beauty in the world. And I went round and I talked to my wife and I told her. They say you're going to die very soon. And then I had to tell my daughters. I had to tell them their mum was going to die. And then I had to tell her mother. I had to say, your daughter's going to die. And I can't tell you how terrible this was, and I don't need to tell you because you understand, I know. And then I had to tell all her friends. And the next day, there were queues of people at the entrance to the ward because Susie was such a loved and beautiful and intelligent and radiant person. Everybody wanted to say goodbye to her. There were queues. And my lovely daughter Rebecca looked after the queue and somehow he got through the day. But what was amazing was what was happening to Susie. She knew she was going to die. And she knew she was going to die in a pretty horrible way. But she's told everybody who came to see her, what is happening to me is everybody's worst nightmare. And yet, you know what? It's not that bad. And she wants to tell everybody it's not that bad. And it was more than not being bad because it was a kind of a radiance to her. A radiance that, I couldn't understand. I said to my family, she's in a state of grace. And you know, the extraordinary thing was that this rubbed off on all of us. And we became so happy. We became so full of love for each other and so intensely aware of the beauty of that moment. And it was as if the intensity of what was happening somehow shut us away from all regrets of the past or all fears of the future. And we were living very precisely and very fully in the present moment. And at the end of that day, I thought, I don't want to leave you. So I had to go off and get a McDonald's burger, because the McDonald's was the only thing that was available in the Western General. And I won't have to tell you how horrible the McDonald's burger was. Or really, there is not happiness. You know, that sort of little McDonald's thing about makes you happy. Oh, it doesn't make you happy. But I ate it, and I thought, oh, gosh, that's clever. They've really designed this well to make you addicted to it. And then I came back, and I tried to make myself comfortable in one of those hospital chairs. You know those hospital chairs? And I positioned it just next to Susie so we could hold hands. And I repeated a Buddhist mantra, and if I was a really clever person, I would tell you the words of that Buddhist mantra and get you all to repeat it, but I've forgotten what they are. But I felt happy. I felt that whatever those Buddhist words were about, which, wow, I can't explain, I don't understand. Whatever world that was that is, well, it belongs to this world. It belongs to this world of suffering and pain. But it is somehow beyond it. But whatever that spiritual, we call it spiritual because we don't really have the words, but whatever that was true. And so, in the midst of, I guess, the deepest unhappiness I've ever felt in my life, I found the greatest happiness. Thank you.